Good morning. My name is Ryan Fleming, and I'm a member of your church council. I would like to welcome everyone to our worship service today, both members and guests alike. And a special warm welcome to those of you from around the world who are in worship with us this morning through the live stream at holytrinitybuffalo.org. We have a few announcements this week. We would like the congregation's help in sending 60 cards for Pastor Burke's 60 years of ministry. Please see the display table near the pass-through entrance for your envelope and instructions. Thank you for helping make his 60 years of ordination a special event. Welcome to the table. Communion education will take place today following the service, with a celebration to be held next Sunday. If you feel your child is ready to participate in communion education, please join us today for class. Sue's Supper will be serving a community dinner this Wednesday at 5:30 p.m., we will hold a brief evening worship following dinner. Volunteers are needed to help prep and serve the meals. Finally, the Sunday School bowling event taking place this afternoon has been changed from Airport Lanes to Manor Lanes, located at 150 Grand Island Boulevard. Please see the bulletin for additional announcements. Thank you and God bless.
Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who gathers us in the wilderness to redeem us, anoint us, and make us new. Amen. In these 40 days, let us be honest, confess our sin, and receive God's promise of mercy. God at the margins, we have wandered far from your home. Again and again, we lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before and promise to do so again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces toward the future, where for your goodness is sure, your welcome is clear, and your love overflows. Amen. Like a hen who gathers her chicks, God embraces you in tender care. Like manna in the desert, God feeds you with surprising mercy. Like a loving parent, God runs to meet you again this day, forgiving your sins for the sake of Christ, leading you from death into life. Amen.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. God's people on earth.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Let us pray together. Eternal God, your kingdom has broken into our troubled world through the life, death, and resurrection of your Son. Help us through your word and obey it, and bring your saving love to fruition in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I invite the young people of the congregation forward for a time with Pastor Lee.
What is up? What's happening? Stop. What is up? I had a trophy for winning. when they put us together in a competition with the lowest average bowler, with the highest average bowler, I was the lowest average bowler in my league, and I won 2 years in a row by being the best lowest average bowler in my league. So I tried out for running. And I was running on track, and I was the last person, I was the very last person to finish the race. So I went home to my dad and I said, "That's it. I am done. I quit." And I assumed once I told my dad, like, "No, Dad, you don't understand. I was last. Everybody else was done. They were across the finish line. I still had like 3/4 of a whole track length to go before." So you know, my dad said, "I thought you'd be like, that's fine, son. I love you. You don't have to do it anymore. Don't blow the ending." What my dad said to me is, "I had to try again. I had to try again. Not just one more time," but he said, "you need to go out for track 3 more weeks. You need to keep trying. You can't just stop now. You got to finish once you start." So, I didn't start what you said, right? Now, I still never became a great track athlete when I was in high school. I never ran, but then like 25 years later, my dad would ask me what I was doing to stay healthy, and I began to run. And everything that my dad had told me like 30 years before started to come back on me that I couldn't quit. There are days when you're going to want to be done, where you're going to want to quit. And maybe you'll have somebody also in your life who's going to tell you and encourage you to keep trying, to keep going. And what Jesus offers to us, what God says, is that every day, see, there's none of us are perfect. Not a single one of us are perfect. So you might be better at track than I am, but I might have gifts that you don't have. We all have different gifts, and we've got different gifts throughout our life. But God says, remember in this baptism, when you were washed with that water, that God gives you a promise that God will be with you every single day. And so we will just keep trying. We will just keep loving. We will keep living and discovering sometimes that the gifts that we have, you don't even know. You don't even know what you're going to do, accomplish in your life, where you might grow and where you might go. But we know that God promises to be with us. And so we keep going. Amen? So I just want to encourage you. You feel like putting on math this week, or if the science lesson is too hard, or if you like me are a slow runner, I want to encourage you to keep running, keep walking, keep dancing, and keep being the person that God has made you to be, knowing that none of that is lost. Amen? Will you pray with me? Dear God, we give you thanks that you are at work in us as we grow, that even when we are tired, even when we want to quit, you encourage us to keep on going. So, Lord God, remind us of your love, that we might have love in abundance for this day and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day. Have fun at Sunday school with your families. See some of your quality.
First reading for the third Sunday in Lent is recorded in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of the Lord. The second reading for today is recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters, as some of them did, as it is written, "The people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play." We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us, on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Please pray first with me. Father in heaven, for Jesus' sake, we give you thanks that you name us and claim us as your own, as your beloved, that you pour gifts of grace, forgiveness into us, that you so feed us for the journey and send us to share this amazing gift with the world in need. So bless us again in word and supper, that filled with this amazing love, we might be your change for the sake of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is worse than you think. If your anxiety about global warming is dominated by fears of sea level rise, you are barely scratching the surface of what terrors are possible. Journalist David Wallace writes in a New York Magazine article, now turned into a full-length book entitled The Uninhabitable Earth. Wallace interviewed paleontologists, oceanographers, climatologists, and other scientists, backing up his alarming depiction of global warming with analytical data. Critics have stated that Wallace was being too pessimistic, too alarmist, but the journalist responded that, quote, "It didn't seem plausible to me that there was more risk at scaring people too much than there was at not scaring them enough. My feeling was and is, if there is a 1% chance that we have set off a chain reaction that could end the human race, then that should be something that the public knows and thinks about." Wallace brings into stark relief the climate troubles that await: food shortages, refugee emergencies, crises that will reshape the globe. Climate change will transform politics, transcend culture, our relationship to technology, and our sense of history. Wallace's writing is more than a recitation and warning. It is written as an impassioned call to action. Wallace still proposes that there is time for this generation to make a difference, but that time is now. We're talking about your generation. That now is the time to acknowledge what time it is, what the realities are, and what actions are needed to respond. Wallace is calling for a global climate repentance. Now, mind you, that word repentance is not a word that he uses, but stay with me here. Sometimes as Christians, we think of repentance as feeling sorry for one's personal sin. And while that certainly is an element of it, in the Bible, repentance is much larger and is often communal. Repentance refers to individuals and communities turning away from things that violate God's purposes, like idolatry and injustice and exploitation, and turning towards faithful living that is centered in the worship of the Most High God and in practice of justice, mutual commitment, and other values of living in covenant with God and with one another and with all of creation. And the need for corporate repentance in the Gospel of Luke is at a critical point. In chapter 12, just before the passage that we read today, there is a long interaction between Jesus and his disciples that revolves around their preparation for the coming apocalypse, that is, for the coming change in the climate of the world, a new realm of God that is breaking into the world. Jesus implores his disciples, his students, that they are to be ready, to be faithful, to endure the social disruption of the day, and to recognize the signs of the world to come. In the last verses of chapter 12, Jesus says to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain, and it does. And when you see the south wind blowing, you know that there will be a scorching heat, and it happens. You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky. Why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is urgent." And at that moment, chapter 13, verse 1 begins with the words, "At that moment, Jesus is asked about the untimely murder of Galileans by Pilate." And Jesus uses the death of the Galileans and those in Siloam not to discuss the link between sin and judgment. In fact, in chapter 12, Jesus said, "I have not come to be your judge," but to rather emphasize that all of life is fragile, that all our lives, even at the longest, if we get 100 years, it is still too brief. And the time is urgent. The time is now to repent. Not simply a 180-degree turn, but a repentance that is the adoption of the kingdom of God that is and has broken into the world. A repentance centered in worship that does justice and loves kindness and moves towards mercy for all creation. The time is now. The cry is urgent. And in Jesus' typical pedagogical tradition, he tells a story to drive his point home. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit, and he found none. So he says to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. It's a waste of the soil that it grows on." Gardener replies, "But sir, leave it be for one more year. Let me heap some manure around it and lay that stuff down. And if it bears fruit, well and good. But if it does not, you can cut it down." So there is a stark choice for the tree. Bear fruit, or the axe is coming to get you. Church, what if we are that tree? I don't just mean our congregation, but the church. With roots that go down deep and steeped in tradition, our Lutheran tradition and Episcopal tradition and Roman tradition, and branches that have held the nest of sparrows for generations. And we have been called not just to produce these roots and shoots, but to bear good fruit. John would say, fruit worthy of repentance. And Paul, that would teach us that these fruits are produce of the Spirit. They are love and joy and peace, forbearance and kindness, goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. The time is now, O tree, this is urgent. Bear fruit, and if not, you will be cut down. And if we're honest, church, we have not always borne the fruits of the Spirit. We, the church, would have to confess our complacency, our dry branches. Sure, we have tried to spread that manure around the base of the tree. That's what it says in the text. I think that's just heaping more preaching upon preaching. You know what I'm saying. Still no fruit. What then? What if the fig tree was Jesus? What if Jesus knows that we have become dry, that we are dry, that we don't always bear good fruit? What if Jesus chooses to take our place there in the vineyard? The fig tree was common throughout the Near East, a beautiful shade tree whose large palm-shaped branches and palm-shaped leaves were said to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve themselves there in the Garden of Eden. The fruit of the tree was an ideal food for travelers, it says in 1 Samuel, for it is nourishment and energy for the road ahead. The fig has medicinal properties, working as balm for wounds and boils. The beauty and shade quality of the fig tree made it a favorite in home gardens, protecting a family and providing sustenance for their lives. And along with the grapevine, the fig tree is a symbol of peace and prosperity. What if the fig tree is the Christ? And for 3 years, this tree has not produced any fruit. 3 years, it is the second clue that this essential shade-bearing tree could just very well be the tree of Christ. Maybe the Pharisees had sought a different kind of produce from this rabbi. Maybe the disciples imagined the Messiah to be someone more militant, someone who would overthrow the powers that be. Maybe the lack of produce production is the lament of the father who anticipates that the world will not change until things become urgent, that knowing perhaps people will not change unless they have to, knowing that it just might cost someone their life. The Pharisees, the crowd, and even at times the disciples could not see or receive the fruit the Christ bore. So they chopped that tree down, setting the axe before him, and in so doing that they could control the reach of its branches. But like a tree planted beside still waters, like a stump that pushes up a new shoot, like a crocus that refuses to be turned back by a frosty soil, the tree lives. And we would become grafted into its branches. And beloved, here's the best news of all. We need not die to experience this new growth. The critique of the David Wallace piece is that he is scaring people to death. Siblings in Christ, we do not need to be scared to death in order to make a change. We need only to remember our baptism to be the change that we want the world to see. Since we have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection, we can each day merely remember our baptism, claim God's promises for ourselves again, remember God's love for you and me and all creation, and bound to Christ's death in those waters, we get to put on resurrection today. I'm going to blow the ending. You don't have to wait for Easter. You don't have to wait for Maundy Thursday to be reconciled with God. God is reaching out to you today. We don't have to wait for Good Friday to experience God's sacrificial love. God loves you this much today. We don't need to wait for Easter to come, for God has raised us up to new life, bearing the fruits of the Spirit that are God-given. Let it be known in the fruit we bear as this community. Let the inbreaking of God's new world order, God's new climate, be present in us, in you and me, today. Amen.
gathered together, let us confess our faith using the words of the Creed found on page 11 of your worship bulletins. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Seeking the grace, mercy, and love of Almighty God, we offer our prayers for the Church, for people in need, and for all of creation. Holy God, build up the body of Christ and cause the gifts of your Spirit to grow among us. Lead us to recognize your saving work through the spiritual practices you encourage. Strengthen the ministries of the Buffalo City Cluster for Grace, North Park, Parkside, Resurrection, and Holy Trinity. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Water the earth with gentle rains and melting snow. Provide clean water for drinking, washing, and nourishing plants that will bear fruit for your creatures. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Uphold people who speak your righteousness in the face of religious or political persecution. Receive martyrs into your everlasting peace. And we pray especially for all men and women serving in the armed forces and their families. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Provide relief for those suffering and in pain. Grant wisdom to healthcare workers who seek to diagnose ailments and bring healing to patients. And we pray for all those we now name out loud and those we remember in our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Promote unity within your church and among the nations. Uncover the common threads in our shared humanity and keep us from making hasty judgments about others. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. For all of us, the young and young at heart, for your daughters and sons, including the children of our community, and especially this day for Michael, Ethan, Brandon, Erica, and Evelyn, hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Knit together the communion of saints and bind us to Christ, our head. Through the diversity of gifts present in our communities, help us to overcome our limitations and increase our understanding of ourselves and others. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Reveal your will as you receive our prayers and conform our ways to your ways. Through the saving work of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Share a sign of that peace with one another.
Let us pray together. Generous God, you feed us with the harvest of the land, and you provide for our every need. Receive our gifts of money, imagination, and labor, and transform them into a feast that welcomes all. In Jesus Christ, our host and our guest. Amen. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. When you drink from this cup, do it in remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. Come, Holy Spirit. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray together. Tender and merciful one, at your feast you fed us who brought nothing, turning our emptiness into joy. Filled with your abundant grace, send us now to be ministers of reconciliation, mending broken hearts, working for justice, and striving for peace among all people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Compassionate God, as Jesus called disciples to follow him, bless those who go forth to share your word and sacrament with those who are sick, homebound, or imprisoned. May these gifts be signs of our love and prayers, that through the sharing of the body and blood of Christ, all may know your grace and healing revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God, who fills the creation with abundance, Christ, who spreads his arms in forgiveness, Holy Spirit, who draws ever near to us, bless you and bring you to life everlasting. Amen.